It's How Did This Get Played, the show where we discuss the worst and weirdest and when's Mary coming on the show again? Video games of all time. The third W was by @Ross428000. Submit yours at GetPlayedPod, #WWW. I'm Nick Weiger, along with Heather Ann Campbell.
I'm Heather Ann Campbell, along with my co-host, Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. And welcome back, Bucket.
Edge. Look, we have a very, very special episode today. I'm not going to say we're going to descend into gaming hell, because far from it.
Watch your language. We're breaking...
yeah, I'm sorry. We're not going to descend into gaming HE double hockey sticks today. we're going to be breaking format a little bit, and we'll get into that in 1 second. But before we do, it is first time to briefly touch on a game we're currently enjoying by spending 70 seconds in gaming heaven. Matt, take it away when you are ready.
Okay, so, you know, here I am again, the Xbox kid, right? A couple weeks ago, I was talking about Forza Horizon 5. Here I am again to talk about something I've been playing on my Xbox. I've been playing the Halo Infinite multiplayer, and now you're probably all wondering, Matt, haven't you played Halo before? No, because you would have heard me mention it before. I haven't really played a whole lot of Halo. I played the Halo Reach campaign,
wow.
Played some of Halo Combat Evolved. That's it. Never played with anyone. Not a soul. I've only done a single campaign. I've not teamed up. I have not squatted up with friends or randoms. And let me just tell you something. I'm having the freaking time of my life in this thing. I understand... I'm not a multiplayer guy, so like getting online was a little scary. But then you start teaming up and helping people and helping others, and it's the most fun I've had playing games in a long time. It's the best. I got on a car with the gun, and I was the gun, and somebody was driving, and I was shooting, and it was great. We worked
wow.
together to take down the fellow Spartans. In a players versus players sort of battle royale. Time's up.
By car, do you mean the Warthog?
Yeah, the Warthog.
Okay, yeah. If you're a Halo guy, you got to learn the lingo.
Okay, well, why are you coming? You're coming for me? Is this what's going on?
No, I actually haven't played a Halo, and I messed around a little bit at Halo 3 on stream, got absolutely waxed, but I haven't. You know, I haven't played a proper Halo since Halo 2. I kind of fell off the series. The Halo Infinite, I heard, is pretty great.
It's really good.
Not just from you.
It's not. Don't take it from me. Take it from everybody else who's saying it's good. It's great. It absolutely rocks. And people are mad about the microtransactions and the battle pass and the progression and all that. But they said they're fixing it, and I didn't have a problem with it because I didn't know what the heck I'm doing anyway. So I'm just there to have a good time. And I played with Zig. Guest Zig, and that was really fun. If he was going to hop on, but then he told us later on that he was at the airport, which is the most iffy thing that ever happened. He was like, oh, I'll meet you guys there. He came up with the plan. He was like, let's play Halo later. I'm like, great, sounds good. You're like, hey, you're logging on? He's like, I'm at the airport. I'm like, what?
That rules.
I haven't played Halo since, it must have been 2 on 360. Was that 360? I don't know.
I feel like probably. Halo 1 and 2 were both on original Xbox, but I could be misremembering it.
What's the one that was on 360?
Probably 3,
I think.
Reach?
3. It must have been 3 then, because I played 3 with past guest Colton Dunn for a long time. And watching the playthroughs both from Gene Park has been posting a lot of videos mm-hmm. of his Halo time. And there have been a lot of other glory clips on Twitter. And I think I'm going to dip my toe back in that pond.
Get in here. Get in. Play with me. I would love to play. Nick, get in here too.
Okay.
I'll do it.
Oh, Nick.
Oh, Nick.
Come on.
I play a first person game, but just for like campaign mode. I don't really do much online multiplayer period, but certainly not like a first person shooter because I just, again, get absolutely waxed.
Yeah.
But. I'm intrigued by it. Everyone's been so positive. And by the time this episode releases, I think we're recording this in November, but this episode will be out in mid-December. So the Halo, the full game Halo Infinite should be out. So
yeah, it'll be out by
single
then.
Player as well.
Yeah. Don't be such a noob and hop online with us.
All right, fine.
Hell.
Halo 1 and 2 were on the original Xbox. Halo 3 was Xbox 360. So
all
that's
right.
The timeline.
That was it. That was the one. 3.
There
I played
go.
Halo 3. The end.
Four as well.
No, I didn't play four.
Okay. And then also Reach.
I didn't do that one either.
Okay. Reach rocks.
So it was three.
It could have been Halo 3 ODST.
Nope, didn't happen. Also, was that the soundtrack?
No. That's OST. That's Halo 3 OST. I don't know what the D stands for.
Original damn soundtrack.
Original damn soundtrack. Yeah. That's okay. Maybe I made a mistake.
All right, again, let's rein in the cursing. Because
Uh-oh.
We have an esteemed guest today. Very excited.
First off, that is not the relationship you guys are about to discover.
Our guest today is Heather's mom, Gail Campbell. Hi, Gail. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Hi, Mrs. Campbell.
Hi, everybody. Hello, everyone.
Oh, wow.
Hey!
Wow.
There it is.
Yep.
There it is.
That's that. I love that. That's like the best thing that's ever happened to me. That's great.
It's my real mom. Just in case you're listening and you're like, what is this? Like a sketch? This is my mom. Yeah. My actual.
Right.
The person who built me, who assembled, who got the parts.
Yeah.
Assembled me in the garage.
Yeah.
And sent me out into the world for data.
Soldered a new modem. Yeah. Yeah.
I am responsible. This is true.
Wow. Gail, we're so excited to talk with you and have you on the podcast. And I mean, there's much to discuss regarding our co-host, the wonderful, the amazing Heather Ann Campbell. But I'm curious about you as a gamer, because we've discussed your gaming hobbies and gaming habits quite a bit on the show. And specifically, we've talked about, you know, playing, Stardew Valley and Fantasia. But I'm curious about like your history as a gamer. Like, is this a recent hobby for you, or have you been gaming for a while?
I've spent a lot of time watching Heather game. And we did, you know, introductory things when she was very young. I mean, she started gaming extremely young. We used to take her to the pizza parlors and put her up on a stool and she would play. And then we bought a PC Junior way, way, way back when. She was astonished because she just found out what that cost back in the day.
Because first off, that's a 128 kilobyte machine, right? 128K. Yeah. It was $1,000.
Oh, wow. My God.
Yeah. This was an IBM computer, the IBM PC Junior. Kind of looks like a PC version of the, what was the Mac of that era?
Mac 2, the Apple 2, yeah, probably.
It kind of looks like the PC version of that with a CRT. Yeah. And the desktop form factor. But today, adjusted for inflation, $3,000.
Yeah, less computing Christ. Power than a microwave. Like can do less. Yeah.
Yeah. No, my mom is already being modest because I discovered years ago that she was really good at Pong before I was born.
Yes, I was.
Yes, I was.
There we go. There's no doubt about it.
She's owning it. We love it.
I had a place, it was actually in a bar, and they had the original Pong, and people used to come and challenge me, and I was good. I really was good back in the day. Yeah, yeah. It was a lot of fun, but, you know, nothing like what y'all do now.
Do you remember encountering Pong for the first time, what that was like?
Yeah. Yeah, I really do, because it was difficult at first, because, I mean, there was no frame of reference. You didn't know at all what you were doing.
Wow.
And then once you learned the angles and everything and how things bounced, it really was not that difficult. But I had a lot of fun playing it.
Was it the first video game you'd ever seen?
That's a good question.
Was there any, were there like pinball machines and stuff, and you'd be like, oh, it's a pinball.
I played pinball a lot. We used to save up the quarters and also pull them out of the couches and such and walk down the street, and there was a place. Y'all have skill golf here in South Florida, as you can tell from my y'all. we played skill golf, but it was called goofy golf. Uh-huh. Because, you know, you're hitting everything inside the mouths of things and all that. But they had a very limited, very small arcade that it had like two pinball machines in it and another machine that was like playing baseball. It had two little flippers, but you hit the ball and to play baseball. And those were really my first games. And I loved playing. I mean, I think that's in her genes.
Right. Certainly sounds down. Like it.
Just from this side, because not her dad. Not her dad. Yeah. The only way I get by now with playing games, because I have my, I've got the Apple Gaming Heather got me so that I can do the Fantasian, which I love. And then I think actually it was a recommendation from here that she got me Stardew Valley. Which,
wow, okay.
Is also, I've got, let's see, I actually wrote that down. I am on day 21 of year 9 in Stardew Valley.
Wow. If that tells you anything.
And
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
For people who don't know Stardew Valley, basically the campaign ends at the end of year 3, the proper story. So like you've kept going on and on and on after Grandpa has returned.
Yes.
Like Christ on the third year.
Yes. So like
to evaluate your farm.
I don't have to go down into the mines to mine my things because I have a statue that he gave me that produces it so that I can.
Wow.
And if you don't play Stardew Valley, that means absolutely nothing. And then in Fantasian, I'm 84.39 hours into that. So
wow.
See, you didn't know what I was talking about, Heather, but they do. So
I know Fantasian because I initially started playing Fantasian and I think I talked about it in 70 seconds on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But it was with the volume of work we have to put into the games for this show. It was one of the ones that I had to sort of put down. And my mom would keep checking in with me and be like, hey, do you know how to beat the swan monster or whatever the fuck she was asking? And I'd be like, no. And then she was like, so I've been watching YouTube videos of how to do these things. And I'm like, my mom has gone from being like a very casual gamer to a very hardcore Sakaguchi playing Fantasian player in the span of 1 year, I feel like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. What inspired that? I mean, was it the podcast? Was it just like that you were looking for another way to reconnect with Heather, or was it just like it just kind of happened?
Well, some of my best memories were like going to Amsterdam when Heather was performing in Amsterdam, and then I would and sleep wherever she was at and on the floor.
The couch,
yes.
And I had a single studio room.
Exactly.
And I think you slept on the couch and I slept on the floor or vice versa.
Yep. And I think at that time you were doing a lot of Final Fantasy. So there was all that beautiful music in the background and watching her. But it was always watching her, which I loved to do. And then when she said, well, Mom, I'll get you, I'll buy you the Switch. I was like, okay. And so the only reason it really works well is because I can tell her father, who is not a gamer and thinks, no, we shouldn't be doing this. It's like, it helps me connect with Heather. It gives us something else to talk about. But now I'm doing things that she's not doing, so I can't really talk to her about it. So let me call you.
I'm all ears. Yeah. Talk with you anytime. I'm curious. So as someone who, you played Pong back in the day and you're playing pinball machines, as far as the input for these for those kind of games, it was pretty rudimentary. And versus today, like you play, you get like a Switch, you get like a whatever the controller you have attached to your Apple Arcade that you're using to play that with.
I think she has a backbone, actually.
You have a backbone. Yeah. So it's
For the phone,
similar
but
sort
I also
of setup.
Have the controller for when I play on the big TV.
There you go. So what was it like adapting to these new input methods?
I'm really bad at it. I don't have, that's part of the problem is that all of y'all started it early enough that it's just like muscle memory. I mean, it's automatic. And I get very aggravated because I know what I want to do. And there are a lot of times that I'm hitting the wrong buttons. I can't even imagine the games y'all talk about where it's like left, right, up, down, twice to the, that would never happen. I could not do that.
Give yourself 30 men in Contra.
Yeah, I kind of just like muddle my way through, but it's just, it can be all consuming. I will be, you hear about the old ladies with the cats. No, I'm just going to be an old lady just in a room with video games.
That, you know, that's a bit of an upgrade. Doesn't stink as much, you know? That's pretty good. That's interesting because, yeah, I mean, my mom played a little bit of games when I was young, but I think it was more of just like, I better try this out to see, like, what this is like before I let, like, you know, my kid sit in front of the TV for ostensibly the rest of his life. when you were buying Heather games when she was a kid, was there like any sort of concern of like what the content was like in the game at all, or were you just like go nuts?
She was not really asking for anything that I mean when she got into like Grand Theft Auto and driving and killing people and all that, but I had watched and listened to people talk about how they thought it was messing people up. And I thought, how can that be that much different than reading a book that has, you know, dark parameters in it? As long as you have that line and you know the difference between what is real and what's fantasy, which I felt we had taught her when she was young. I might have been wrong.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I feel like I was reading Stephen King books in like 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Yeah,
and if
great,
you've
Mom.
Already like read somebody get murdered,
yeah,
like playing a Genesis game is just like, it's a lot tamer, actually. I think you made the right call. I ended up normal.
Yes, I think you are very normal. Yes.
Gail, let's talk Stardew Valley a little bit, because I want to hear a bit about your farm. You put 9 years into it. What is your in game, which is awesome. And what's your favorite part of the game? Like, why did this thing get you hooked?
I like the fact that even when I think I've gotten everything I'm going to get out of the game, something pops back up and surprises me. Like when I went over to my grandfather and found out that he had this statue that produced iridium?
Yes.
That you need for everything, that I thought you had to always go into the mines and die over and over again before you could get. So those little things that happen, I really enjoy. And I've just started setting the farm up more, but my main goal right now is working with the wizard to get myself those things that send me from here to there. And right now, the only one I have is the desert, and I'm working on the other ones. So there's always something else to build on, and I like that.
It's the did you have like a primary, you know, you're tweaking your farm right now, but did you have a primary crop you focused in on, or were you making wine, were you raising pigs for truffles, what was your main cash engine?
I do have the pigs for truffles, absolutely, because that's a good one. And then actually, you know, Heather said it's not cheating to go to YouTube and look things up, so the one area where I don't know what it's called, where you can grow things that are not out on the farm.
The greenhouse.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I read about growing the ancient fruit. If you grow fruit and you make wine with the ancient fruit, then you make much more money. And there's also a thing that you can get from the wizard where, I don't know if it's like 3 million of whatever it is that we're making, where your farm will take care of itself. So when the seasons change and things go to hell in a handbasket, you don't have to clean it up. And that's what I want. I don't want to clean it up. So.
But it does make it more rewarding when you've like gone through. We talked about this a little bit with Kirk Hamilton about just like you have that progress of like early on you see how tedious it is to do these things. And then eventually when you can automate it, it's like very gratifying.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, as someone who's followed games and you know, or been aware of games through Heather largely, and is now playing them more yourself, when you encounter something like, the wizard will give me a statue that will let me teleport, do you just kind of take that in stride? Or, like, is there ever a moment where you're like, what is going on here?
No, I don't think there's been the one of what's going on. It's always just been like, woohoo. Look at that. I can just get from here to there, and then I'm over there, and I'm about to have to go to sleep, and they're going to take things away from me. I can just teleport back. So, Yeah, I'm thrilled when those things happen, but I don't have that. How can they do this? No.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you have a romantic partner in Stardew Valley? Did you marry anyone?
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah,
stayed loyal the whole time. Yeah, yep. I love it. Yeah. Married but to the farm.
I did, and maybe you can tell me what you do with this. I did build a house. You know how you can go over there and build houses. I built a house, and I thought that, because I didn't look this up, I thought when I built the house that people would come. You know, if you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
but nobody came. And then I was reading, I think you have to do, if there's maybe a multiplayer thing or something to get.
Yeah, that's more. I think that's for the multiplayer mode, which I haven't really messed around with. But I think if Heather had a farm or Heather was a part of your farm, then her character could stay in the house that you've built, for instance.
And what would that accomplish?
I mean, you can just hang out and have fun in the game.
Okay.
Different sort of experience.
In Animal Crossing, you have to invite people or have a friend code. Is it similar circumstances in Stardew?
Yeah, I think you have to. I think you have to start the game as multiplayer, or it could just be in a single player. And again, I haven't really messed around with this mode at all. I always play these games solo. But I think you can have someone visit you can have someone else. Have their character visit your farm and just sort of hang out. So it is a similar sort of mechanic.
So are you married in Stardew Valley?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
here's what's happened, because I played the game a few times, and there's the sensation of you have a different spouse or romantic pursuit in different playthroughs, which becomes weird to think about, psychologically of okay, I married Leah in this previous timeline, but in this new timeline, I am romancing Emily. And then so I encounter Leah. She is just a friend, but I have this memory of her, of raising a family with her in this previous life. It's that's all. I always find that kind of weird, just as a for the player, not for the character in the game. It's just a weird thing to think about.
Well, Nick, it's not real, so you can relax. None of it's true.
She does not remember you.
Yeah, she doesn't remember.
Yeah, that's true.
She has never thought about you, which is hard to hear.
That's extra gum. Yeah. Did you, Gail, rebuild the community center, or did you sell out to the JoJo Corporation?
I rebuilt, it's all built. I thought there would be more to it. And it's just okay, it's done. Don't I get something special? No.
I've been messing around with Stardew a little bit more recently. It's kind of my nighttime game. It's because it's a very relaxing, not a whole lot of input. So it's very it's not going to stimulate my brain too much before I'm trying to fall asleep. It's just a little bit of, I'll maybe do a day or two before I shut my eyes. But I found that what's getting me hooked in it is weirdly the process of gathering materials. The action of chopping down a tree and the input that you do for it is so satisfying, and the little sound that the tree makes, that little thup, thup, thup is so satisfying. Yes. I was wondering if there was a part of the game that you liked to do, especially in that way, where you're this is a fun task. I like this.
That's a good question. I like fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, I do like the fishing. Figured out how to do it, which took me a while.
Yeah,
it's pretty hard. Yeah.
I don't do it a lot because once your farm starts, I've got all these beehives and I've got all this honey and I've got all this maple and I've got all this stuff.
Yeah, you don't have time for vacation. Yeah.
Yeah. But I did get the little guys that you can get from the wizard that will harvest your crops.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have five or six of them harvesting crops. But the days go by so fast.
I know.
They really do, yeah.
You wake up at 6 a.m. before you know it, you're exhausted, and it's only 4.
Yeah. That's why fishing is so good, because it's really relaxing as opposed to trying.
You can get a whole day fishing, yeah.
Yeah, Probably like in real life, which I don't do.
But you were being a little self-critical about your own gaming skills, but I would say that's probably one of the more difficult mechanics in the game is fishing, and you got it down. It's like maybe the gaming side of things really is in your the Campbell DNA.
Yep.
I would say that Pong is a very intense, you know, it's one-on-one. It's the Street
Heather's
Fighter
mom was,
of...
Real quick, for people listening, Heather's mom was moving her arms up and down like Pong pedals as Heather was talking.
Yeah.
Which she had no idea, but you did. That's really good. She probably thought it was roboting or something.
What? I mean, I feel like Pong is just so directly competitive and requires it. I mean, it's not like a complicated input, but it is hand-eye coordination in the immediate. And right. I feel like my mom coming from that, she's probably downplaying her skills a lot more than she realizes. I think there's got to be a... And also, when I was really young, you were the one controlling the game. Like, I didn't know how to input anything. And I'd watch... Like, when a monster would show up on King's Quest or something, I'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing. And you'd make the guy move around.
I would talk a lot. You did most of the moving, but you know, it was a lot. Yes, you did. And a lot of the things back in the typing days, move this, push that, drop that, get back up because you died. you know, but yeah, you did most of it. We sat behind you a lot and did recommendations, but you were doing the hand eye thing.
I was just no idea.
Mother daughter thing.
Well, I guess I didn't need you guys after all.
No, still don't.
So Fantasian, another, you know, like a fairly, and I haven't played it, and Heather, you might have more specific thoughts on this, but Fantasian, I think, is a pretty traditional JRPG from what I've heard, which is a genre that's not the most necessarily inviting to new players always. It can be a pretty, you know, it has its own conventions. It can be, those games can be pretty dense and complicated. How did you get into Fantasian and 80 plus hours into your playthrough, what got you hooked about this game?
Well, she introduced it to me first, and she had started playing in the beginning that I was playing. And then I got to a point with it where she was like, I'm like, this is happening. It's like, no, I'm not there. I don't have time for that. I have get played to do. but I think for me, I mean, it's a good thing for me because it's not like the fighting games that Heather would play where you have to move really fast, all of that. I mean, you can just sit there and figure out what kind of an attack you're going to do when you're playing against the monsters and such. But mostly it was getting to any particular point where they would play the little video feedback that was like watching anime. That was just so charming. And the music is beautiful, as is your music, Devin. I love your music.
Aww. Thank you, Mrs. Campbell.
That's a nice thing to say. Wholesome.
Well, it's true. I told you I listen. You just don't believe me when I tell you I listen.
For those of you who aren't familiar with Fantasian, it is an Apple Arcade game that came out April 2nd, 2021. That was part one. And part two came out August 13th, 2021. It features both touch and mouse keyboard DualShock support. And it is from the old school Final Fantasy team of Sakaguchi, who was the producer. The director is Takuto Nakamura, and the composer is Nobuo Uematsu, who did all of the original Final Fantasy scores. I mean, it's also a game that takes place on dioramas. So the level design is physical and then scanned and photographed and put into the backgrounds of the game. So it doesn't look like anything else that I've ever seen in a role-playing game. You've got your digital characters walking around on a tangible environment, and it's gorgeous. And that's why I recommended it to you, Mom. Like, I was like, I think you'd really like this. It's very soothing. I didn't know how you'd handle the sort of anime tropes of it, like the villain being really beautiful, I think, and like all that stuff that we've all sort of swallowed and ingested.
I'm not really sure all of the villains are really villains. at this particular point. So I'm not 100% sure on that. I mean, things have happened where all of the main characters were semi-imprisoned. And then that was a lot of fun because you get to go and get them out, which was very, very hard. But I finally have them all out, so I'm very proud of myself for that.
Very good.
And you get to switch when then when you're battling, I don't know, there's five or six characters. You always have three when you go into a battle. And you get to switch between them for their strengths and their weaknesses, which is one thing I wanted to talk to you about because I still don't know. I still don't understand, like, when it says to analyze and they show me all those little things across there. I don't know what any of that means.
Ah, so you are, because she doesn't have the vocabulary of like a Pokemon game, she's not like, oh, that means it's weak to poison, is what you're saying, sure. I think.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying.
There's a lot of shorthand that we've all just sort of, you know, is second nature to us because we've been gaming our whole lives, that if you were like, it's like showing a car schematic to a child. Hey, you know, here's a Ford Bronco. Can you? You know what? I don't need to continue with this metaphor. We all understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, we got it. The kid though wouldn't know how to do it. Yeah.
Right, right.
I kind of got lost at Ford Bronco, but okay. We can just keep going.
Well, you were picturing the famous one. You got distracted.
Yeah. Very slowly down the 405.
One of the best parts of what just happened is that my mom also didn't laugh. So yeah. I feel like I have external validation that what you said was just words.
No, Nick. Yeah, and that, I mean, it doesn't surprise me because I am aware that she does listen to the show. So she's like aware of what we do and how we do it. And so I would expect nothing less.
So you play Fantasian, and you also, the reason I got you the Switch at the beginning of pandemic was for Animal Crossing.
Yes. Yes. And I thought Animal Crossing was charming, and it was really my first jump into the water. And it's so beautifully done. But to me, it got to a point where when I would watch Heather do things, even back with SimCity, I mean, it always had to be the best city and the biggest that and everything that you could possibly do. I don't quite go in that direction. So with Animal Crossing, it was like, I get to this point, I was like, I don't really care if my world is beautiful or not. I think with Fantasian, one of the reasons I'm enjoying it is because I feel like I can get from here to there. Eventually.
Sure.
Where there is no, in SimCity, in Animal Crossing, there are beautiful things, but there is no end. I would like to feel like I have, y'all talk about beating the game or, you know, I want to feel like I've completed something. And I didn't get that from Animal Crossing.
Have you completed Fantasian?
No. I got into the second part. I've now released all the people. I've completed a whole bunch of the tasks, but there are some of them still out there that I haven't yet.
So you're kind of going for, it seems like kind of a completionist sort of way of, and I'm inferring this from your Stardew Valley playthrough, that you kind of want to like do everything, not just sort of like get the main story taken care of.
Yes. I would like to do everything, complete it all, and then say to my daughter, I did it. You haven't done it, but I did it.
But do you have any idea? I don't know how the saving works on Fantasian. Do you know what your percentage completed in part one was? Or is it just that you finished the story of part one and then waited for part two to come out and then part two was released and you imported your saved characters and began part two?
I'm hearing just like Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. I have absolutely no idea what to tell you. Wah, wah. I'm in part two. That's all I can tell you.
Okay, great.
Let's talk a little bit about Heather, because I'm curious, because you talked about the IBM PC Junior, And that was kind of like her entry into home gaming. And I'm curious, like what are your earliest memories of when Heather got into to gaming? And like I'm curious if that lines up with Heather's memories of her, you know, initial sort of what initially hooked her with this hobby.
I could be remembering wrong because it's been a while. But we used to go to Wisconsin every weekend. And
every weekend
I worked half days on Fridays. It was a 4-hour drive to our cottage. I got off at noon. We got her from school and we headed straight up there and stayed until Sunday night.
And that cottage, the cottage wasn't built when we first started going.
No, because
if you're going to talk about the pizza place, it was just a tent on a lot.
True.
And we camped every weekend.
Absolutely. But there was a place that we went to in town called Happy Joe's, which was a pizza place. And they had a gaming console. And I remember Centipede. I think it had Donkey Kong. Mm-hmm. Heather, you can correct me if there's what.
Yeah, it had because I think they had three. And they had a stand-up Donkey Kong cabinet, a stand-up Centipede cabinet, and a tabletop Pac-Man.
Yeah,
the one that was built into the table.
Because we had to kind of like prop you up for you to play these things. But she was just immediately good. Yeah, she was just, it was like a natural instinct. And of course, for me liking things that I had done in the past, I was like, oh, cool. She likes something I like. And and she's good at it. So it felt like, because I think Heather has a lot of her father in her, but I feel like this was something that came down from me that is not anywhere in her father's repertoire. So, and she really enjoyed it. So that was the other thing, getting to watch her do something that she really, really enjoyed.
Right.
So we did that. She did that pretty much every week when we would go there. You know, the next step really was the PC Junior before or after you got the Sega. I mean, we were Sega all the way.
The PC Junior was before I could form memories.
Okay.
So like, I don't really remember when that happened, but I was aware when we had the Genesis. Like I was formed human person.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The PC Junior was like Jumpman, and we kind of did play that together more.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you got into the Sega, the Genesis, and the Master, and all of that, that was really you and me watching you, which was there's got to be something that probably has messed your brain up about me watching you. Always watching
what?
You.
Wait, what? What?
Do you ever feel like you're being watched, Heather?
No. I mean, okay. I mean, yeah, constantly, especially in public.
Now we know where that came from.
So, Mom, do you have memories of, like, watching me play Sonic the Hedgehog?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And actually, and I know you didn't play it as much as Sonic, because Sonic, the running, the jumping, all that, you were just so good at that up and down and all the different noises and craziness, and I had no idea what was going on. Mm-hmm. But I remember when you got Eco the Dolphin, because there was music.
Wow.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah.
And I guess I really like music. So, so I enjoyed that one a lot. But Sonic the Hedgehog, Eco the Dolphin. Those were the first games I remember you playing that were the Sega games. And then we got you a handheld one, too. And I don't even remember what you had on the handheld one, because that
game
went to
gear.
And from.
That was the Game Gear.
Yeah.
And I had Columns and Mortal Kombat were on my Game Gear.
Now, was Tetris also played?
No, Tetris was on. Columns is a puzzle game. It's like, it looks like Tetris, but it's not Tetris. So that might be. One of my fondest memories of gaming with my mom and dad was that we rented a Super Nintendo for a vacation one year and went to a
snow skiing
or something.
Michigan.
In Michigan?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Don't have any memory of where we were.
Well, it was, we went for a ski weekend over New Year's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I remembered this being a week, but apparently it was just a weekend. And we rented a Super Nintendo at Blockbuster and rented a copy of Out of This World, which is one of my favorite games of all time.
My tuba.
That's what the alien says. My mom still remembers it. So only the only sound clip I think in the entire game of voice.
Hearing that just activated me.
but yeah, I mean, they sat on the couch behind me, and I sat on the floor, and we brute force solved all of Out of This World, like puzzle by puzzle by puzzle. My mom would be like, well, I think you should jump over that pit instead of falling in it. And I'm like, yeah, I know. That's what I'm fucking trying to do. Except I was a child.
Saying that so yet.
But like it was also like they'd be like, oh, can you press that switch? Can you do this? And we solved it as a family, which was
you remember that the night you solved it was New Year's Eve?
No, I don't remember that.
Yes, yes. It was New Year's Eve. We stayed up super, super late, rung in the new year, playing that game.
I was going to ask if it coincided with the actual ball dropping. If you nailed it right at midnight.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, well, right, man. Right, yeah. That's sweet. I had no memory of when it was. I just remember the color palette of the game and the intense, constant frustration of playing it.
Yes.
That's so nice.
Yes. Yeah. There was a lot of dying involved. But
oh, yeah. Also, you die millions and millions of times in that game.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's one of our fondest memories as well. Both. And your dad, like I say, he does not play, but he's just crazy about his daughter. So enjoying watching her do things and being involved in her life all along has been so special to him.
Why did I end up like this? What happened to me? I mean, it sounds like I had a real nice foundation of support and love. What happened to me? Maybe the games are bad for you. Maybe that's what we're learning.
Wrong podcast.
Gail, you mentioned going in the Sega direction, and that's a thing we often find that divide on people of me and Heather's generation of whether you're a Nintendo family or Sega family. Now I feel like for people who are younger, it's like, were you a Nintendo family or an Xbox family or a PlayStation family? But why did you opt to go in the Sega direction? Was it because what Heather wanted?
Honestly, in remembering it, I think it was more what she wanted. I think the Sonic was always Sonic the Hedgehog because he ran so fast.
Yeah,
he's cool. He's really cool.
Yeah, so that was the thing. I mean, Sonic, she loved Sonic. She had Sonic socks. She used to, you wear your Sonic socks when you did long jump, right?
Yes. I would wear Sonic the Hedgehog socks to do track
and
field.
Because he was fast. Yeah.
Gotta go fast.
Gotta go fast. Yeah, yeah. So it was really what she went towards. Just like her father, and when VHS and Beta came out, he went to Beta. You know, it's the kind of the choices of the family. We don't really go with what's going to end up being mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the Venn diagram right there of the Campbell family line. Good at video games, picking the wrong thing.
Yep. Good analogy.
About the long jumping, because this is a thing I've known Heather for a long time, but I didn't know about her long jumping history until she told the story on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Heather, you were really into this for some time. You were really like pretty an avid and a somewhat accomplished long jumper in school.
Yes. But I've talked about that on the podcast before,
right?
You have
talked about it, yes, yeah.
When they tore down the high school you went to, you were still holding the record on the wall, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, and I'm so glad they that high school is gone.
And actually, Heather did triple jump the first year that they allowed triple jump in. And she
for
went
women.
To, for women. Mm-hmm. And she went to state with triple jump.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jumping was just really, I mean, like it's
kind of like a video game.
Yeah. You know?
Right.
Jumping.
It's a
running, jumping.
It's a task. It's like all you have to do is accomplish this one task. So it was very like, whereas with sprinting, it's like, I'm just running. You know, it feels a little bit more nebulous, but with a jump, you can kind of focus on the thing that you're going to do. Yeah. So yeah, I think the longest I ever long jumped was like 18 and a half feet. And it was just,
before people tried to tell you how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the other thing is that I was just doing it because I thought it was fun and funny. Mm-hmm. And as soon as like the colleges started scouting me and starting like filming me, and like then they'd bring me to the college and they'd show me the footage and they'd be like, here's what we're going to correct when you come here, and you're going to be in the Olympics in a year and a half, and don't you worry about it.
The Olympics.
Because I think qualifying for the Olympics was, I think, only a quarter foot more than I was jumping at the time without Jesus. Any training. Wow.
I don't remember.
Maybe it was a little farther than that, but it was no distance at all if I'd had a coach who was teaching me how to jump.
There were several colleges that scouted you and offered you scholarships, but we ended up going in the direction of
a place that had no track and field.
Exactly. Yeah. Where they told us, we don't give people money. You have to be smart to come here.
As soon as people started trying to teach me how to do it, I got worse. Was all like, as soon as some Big Ten coach was like, all right, kid, I'm going to come and watch you jump and then I'm going to give you pointers. The next time I would jump less or shorter. Mm. Less? Yes,
you should roll your body this way and tilt your head that way and overthinking everything as opposed to just the natural. She was natural and they took that away.
Well, now I can't even jump off the couch. Like I'm just a, sloth.
Yeah. But it sent you in the video gaming direction. So, hey.
Yep, that's true.
All worked out.
Yeah.
You could have been Flojo, though. I mean, that would have been awesome.
Who's that?
You know, Flojo?
Who's Flojo?
Running? You don't know Flojo? Even your mom knows
Great
Flojo.
Great Olympian.
I don't know Flojo, guys. I'm sorry.
I saw a guy at I saw a dude at a steakhouse and he was wearing, this was like a month ago too. This was very recent. He was wearing a full Flojo tribute tracksuit.
Wow.
I was like, this rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could have been you.
I mean, if you'd been like, you could have been like Tails, I would have been like, yeah, I could have been like Tails.
This life path makes sense.
I had a real one more question about the jumping. I guess I didn't ask this before. Heather, were you interested in flips?
I never tried flips. Was that a joke at my expense?
Apodaca? No, I was laughing at Nick, his little quiet, great question. Because it's not a good question. But it just occurred to me, I was like, you could have been doing flips. Had you ever done a backflip before?
My mom tried putting me in gymnastics, and I did not take to it. Like, I really hated it, and I came home crying, and I didn't like trying to do anything.
I think that's the only thing I ever let her quit.
Wow.
Because she was really good at basketball, too. You may not know that. When she first started playing, I think the first or second time, she's like, I don't like this. They don't. And I said, okay, you're going to give it at least a month. You're going to just keep at it for a month. And if at the end of the month you hate it, we'll talk about it again. Mm-hmm. And she was like an all-star basketball player.
Wow.
In elementary school and then went on and played not as much in high school, but still played in high school. Mm. But she was an all-star all through those other years. So, but gymnastics, no. Flipping, no.
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 I took karate for one day. cried because there was a kid in my class that was from my elementary school that I didn't like, and then I didn't want to go back because I didn't want to see him twice in a day. That's how we do it. in my house. If you just want to quit something, he's like, hey, I don't like it. And it's like, okay. But it goes to show, too, that all roads lead to this, no matter what.
It's true.
No matter what life you lead, you end up on this podcast.
We won't even get into my bassoon career. Gail, I'm curious, what's next for you as a gamer? Once you put Fantasia to bed, once you maybe get burned out on Stardew Valley, do you have any? Are there any avenues of gaming you want to explore next?
I'm waiting for the podcast to tell me what I should try next. I will say there's only been, I mean, and Heather said when I told her, I really hate telling you this because I didn't like it. What was the name of that game?
Was it Ace Attorney?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm. Yes. It wasn't for me. That's the only one I've done that I didn't really have a lot of fun with. But I don't know. You guys you've heard my little foray into the gaming world.
Yeah.
Maybe you can suggest something.
There's just such a valley between Stardew Valley and then something like Fantasian. Like, those couldn't be more different from each other. But also, like, it kind of makes sense that somebody who's a fan of one would be a fan of the other for some reason. Like, that tracks to me. I wonder if there's, like, because you're not someone who, you like the story. You're interested in a story, but you like tasks also. So it sounds like JRPGs might be your genre. We might need to just find you another one of those so that there's a ton of stuff for you to do before you have to progress into the next thing.
I think it's going to be, so the recommendation I'm going to give her next is Final Fantasy IX Remastered on the Switch, which is maybe the best, classic style Final Fantasy game. And I also think Apodaca, I think she could be a Pokemon player.
I think I would love, yeah, that's great. That's,
because she also plays Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah, so I did Pokemon Go.
So she knows the Pokemon.
Yes.
Like, she knows them. And so, like, to see Snorlax again, I'll be like, oh, it's that guy.
I got you. You remember the Snorlax I got you that was kind of like a holographic Snorlax?
Yeah, she got me a paperweight once. That had like a holographic Snorlax in it because I couldn't find one in the game.
Wow. I love that.
Isn't that sweet?
I had to stop doing Pokemon Go because I was driving Heather's father crazy because we'd be driving down the street. And I'd go, slow down.
I got to get that.
And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, wow. It's for Heather. I'm doing it for Heather.
Stop the car.
Grab the wheel from the passenger seat.
Charizard driving across like a national park, just like the parking, the lawn.
Cutting across three lanes on the highway.
Where are we going? What are we doing?
I think the Pokemon franchise is a good recommendation because I think there is maybe a point of unity in you know, you've got the JRPG sort of storytelling, the narrative, the aesthetic that you like, but then also, like, you know, like in the Stardew Valley, you're raising animals, they've got names, you've got a connection with them, they are ultimately helping you progress. So that seems like there's something there, and I think also, you know, I mentioned aesthetics. I think that's also a thing that maybe is a connection between Fantasian and not having played it, but knowing its reputation and having heard secondhand things about it and Stardew Valley, is that these are games that are very aesthetically pleasing. Like they're very nice to look at. They're very nice to listen to. And so that makes me think that maybe you might also respond to Dragon Quest XI, which is the most recent mainline Dragon Quest. And that game has, you know, it's very charming. It's got a very straightforward but, you know, compelling story. And hey, if you put 80 hours into Fantasian, you can put 500 hours into Dragon Quest XI. That game is huge.
Yes, Heather, Christmas is coming.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Wow.
Maybe Santa will hear the podcast.
Do you know what's
he's
what's
real,
frustrating
right?
about a Switch is that you can't get somebody else, like you can't digitally get somebody else a game, and that's ridiculous. You should be allowed to be like, hey, I got you a Christmas gift, and it appears as like a little wrapped present icon, the way that the 3DS icons used to appear, and then my mom could open it. That would be so cool. But instead, I'll probably get her a gift card and just be like, get these.
Yeah.
The eShop is so crude. But yeah, that one I think you might like as well. But hey, there's no shortage of games out there. And the thing is, a lot of these things have demos, so you can always try it out for a little bit. And if it doesn't click for you, try something else. Plenty of options. Gail, I've had so much fun hearing from you and talking to you about Heather. I was curious if before we get to, I want to answer a listener question here, but before we get to that, do you have anything else you would like to add that we haven't touched on regarding games or regarding Heather or regarding anything?
Nope. That was a quick answer.
Yeah.
Nope.
I think we've maybe also learned where your daughter got her comedic timing. So, hey, it's time for the question block.
Ba-ding!
This is a question from Anthony RC627 on Twitter, and they write, with December holidays coming, would you be willing to share Christmas game stories? And I thought that was interesting because you probably, we talked about, you getting Heather games when she was young. Do you remember, is there a particularly memorable Christmas, maybe a Christmas reaction of some kind that Heather had to receiving a game?
Other than ripping it open and immediately leaving us behind while she went to play it? Not really. That would be about it. Yay, here it is. Bye.
Well, I remember you... Wait, no, maybe that didn't... No, because I got... Okay, no. I was like, didn't you guys get me Street Fighter? But I think Street Fighter was released in the summer. And so... That wasn't a Christmas present. I was trying to remember Christmas-specific games. I know Sonic 2 was a Christmas-specific game. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember getting Sonic 2 for Christmas and being like, this is the greatest day of my life. And it was. I never, ever... Hey, you guys ever think that's true? That, like, maybe the joy you experienced receiving something as a child might be the highlight, like, the actual... height of joy that you'll ever experience in your life?
Yeah, I think 100%. About it a lot. I have a holographic Charizard on my shelf, and every time I walk past it, I was like, that's the goal, topping that. Like, whatever that feeling was, getting that, I was like, I have yet to achieve that yet. I'm waiting to pass that moment in my life.
Did you just say you had like $1 million card on your?
It's not a first edition. It's the second. It's the second print of the. But it is a Wizards of the Coast card.
Right.
But it's not a. It's not. I've priced it. It's not like
right.
But it's in great condition because I was a good boy.
on that topic, yes, because I have. The games I remember from Christmas specifically were, I remember got a Tetris, we were talking about Tetris earlier for NES, and then I think Gyrus was the other game, which was a pretty fun shooter that I got both of those for one Christmas, and I was like, this is unbelievable, and I had so much fun with those games. But the one I'm remembering specifically is for Super Nintendo. There was a year that me and my brother got Super Mario Kart for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what time of year it released originally, but that was the Christmas gift that we got. And I just remember on Christmas Day, it was a day that my family was hosting like the gathering. And so our extended family was there and just being in my bedroom playing Super Nintendo, playing Mario Kart versus my brother, or sometimes my cousin would come in and playing against my cousin, and just being like, that's as good as life gets. You don't realize until later. You're just like, this is that's it.
Yeah.
Like, that's all there is. There's not a leather level beyond that. It's just like you get that. That's the height of joy.
Yeah.
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 I hope none of our girlfriends ever listen to this episode.
I don't have a girlfriend. I have a wife.
Yeah.
And she
would never listen to this shit. Yeah. that's such a specific thing. The Christmas gift The I think honestly the just like the gift of gaming, like the gift of getting a game, and it's kind of just changed because I think it's partly because of the you know, there's less physical media now, although I know that's having something of a resurgence. But when I see a picture of someone like just with like a kid getting like a PlayStation 5 as a surprise or like a video of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like someone's captured that and they're like crying. They're like so happy. I was like, that's just like the best. That's like going to be like the one of this kid's best memories.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that that's documented.
I see that. And I'm like, that's why my boys can't get one. Because this little kid got one. What's this kid doing with it?
Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at GetPlayedPod or send us an email at GetPlayedPod@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 6162PLAYED. That's 616-275-2933. Our music and engineering are by Devin Bryant. You can follow him on Twitter at BaffleGabs. And Gail Campbell, thank you so much for being here. Absolute delight.
Yeah.
I've known your daughter for many years. She's one of the most amazing and talented people I've ever interacted with. And whatever's was in your DNA and within her upbringing, she came out pretty okay. So, really, really amazing to talk to you and hear you share all your memories and your fandom for gaming.
Well, and thank you so much. And I honestly do listen. I listen and I laugh. I when I'm sitting at the streetlights, I know people are wondering, what is that crazy woman doing? Because I'm sitting there cracking up laughing. Y'all just, you make my day. So I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I enjoyed being here.
Thank God you. Bless you. Thank you for saying that.
Would you like to plug anything?
I have nothing to plug. I have nothing to plug except this show, which I love. So everybody watch this and listen. You can't watch it. Listen.
God That's bless it. You. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom, for being on the show. And you could have gone harder on me. I could have handled it. You could have done it. You could have gone tooth and nail. You could have done it.
Maybe I'll come back.
Hey,
here we go. And just roast Heather for an hour straight.
Matt, what's next week's game?
Next week's game, Balan Wonderworld. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Bucket.
Edge.
Yes, I think you are very normal. Yes.